You will note in listening to us that we do make use of the King James Version of the Bible. There may be some questions about that. I particularly like the King James Version, and for many years, particularly in my broadcast ministry, but in my other ministries as well, I have made use of the King James Version of the Bible. When one looks at the King James Version and its history, it is very impressive. For example, one thing that is done now in graduate schools and among those who are in the collegiate world is they put a lot of emphasis on peer review. If one looks at the King James Version of the Bible, it is the ultimate example, in my opinion, of peer review. When one looks at the process of how the King James Bible came into being, it was peer review at its best, being sent to peers in many different areas and places, and then reconciling any differences and so forth. I love the King James Version. Yes, it is Elizabethan in tone and use of words and so forth, but it has been so beneficial to all of us. I know that you may have your own version. I am partial to the King James Version for a number of reasons, and I know that many churches now are updating, and I'm not speaking negative relative to that, but I pray that you will receive our ministry from the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Today is a day that I've talked to people in different places, and in the course of some of those conversations, I talked to people who were atheists, and some of them were accusing God concerning certain calamities that have occurred recently in a certain country. And this is something that those of us who are ministers encounter when we tell people about God and they want to accuse God and say things like, if there is a God, why would he allow this to happen? And then they hasten to bring up children. Why would he allow children to be killed, to suffer? These are accusations against God that is important for us to realize that we'll have to deal with. Of course, we know that Satan is the accuser, and we must begin to be wise and be able to refer to Scripture and see examples of where God was accused of not being God or challenged to prove that he is God. Satan has a way of using the, if you are God, do this. The if accusation. I call it the if accusation. If you are the Son of God, if you are God. And we see it in a number of places. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 in the Holy Bible. This is an account of our Lord Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil. And we see in Luke chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Friends, now this is Luke St. Luke chapter 4, and this is verse 3. Let me read it again, and pay close attention to the if. This is St. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And so, this is the challenge. If you are the Son of God, do that. And some of you may have encountered that in your Christian life, by people around you saying, if you are this, then you do that. Well, that's the pattern that Satan uses. He used it here with Jesus. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones, command this stone that it be made bread. So the if, and then do this to show, if thou be the Son of God. You see, Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Satan was in heaven at one time, and Jesus was in heaven. And so Satan knew that. So why would he come and ask this conditional, like this, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread? He knew Jesus. The demons knew him. That's why he wouldn't let them speak, because they knew him. So if the demons knew Jesus, certainly Satan knew him. You see, people who know that what they are saying doesn't make sense in the first place, but because they are full of the devil, they will put forth words and conditions that have no standing and no real meaning. Satan knew that Jesus is and was the Son of God. He knew that. So there are those of you who, when you know that the people who are opposing you know better, you get upset and you get mad and you just can't understand it. This is the understanding. It is the devil in hell who is doing this through that person. Don't get upset when you know that the person who is accusing you knows better, but see that as being an operation of Satan. Rather than getting mad and fighting and arguing and saying things that you ought not to say, because we see it here in Luke chapter 4, verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Now, the real point here was the devil had a desire. He wanted Jesus, however he could get him to, he wanted him to sin against God. And so he puts forth this if. In other words, he just makes a proposition to get his way. He wants his way. And so when you encounter people who are trying to get their way and they say things that absolutely startle you, remember that is the pattern of Satan. It doesn't have to be true. Satan doesn't deal in truth unless he thinks it promotes his purpose. He is a liar, and he is the father of liars. And so why would you expect truth from the liar who is the father of lies, the father of lies? And so here, certainly Jesus could have said, Satan, you were in heaven with me before you got kicked out. You know I am God, the Son. But he didn't say that. He just went to Scripture. And so you see, what we do is we try to reason with them on the human level. You know that's not true. You know such and such. And then we get into a big argument. Jesus knew that Satan knew that he was the Son of God. And yet, when Jesus answered, here is how he answered in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus did not even deal with the setup that Satan had given in terms of couching a lie and trying to get him to sin against God. He merely gave him the word of God. And this is a good pattern for us. We get involved in too many words on the human level, trying to convince people in whom Satan is working. You can never please the devil. So no matter what you say, you can't please him. And if you do what he wants you to do, you sin, you displease God, and Satan still is not going to love you, because he's not a lover. You see, so if you decide that you're going to appease Satan and do what Satan wants done, you rebel against God and his word, and yet you gain no favor with anyone who has any substance, because Satan does not mean you any good. If you say Satan loves you, well, what does that mean? The Bible says that he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so, what can you expect then from Satan? Exactly what the scripture says. You can expect him to steal from you, to kill you, and destroy you and yours. That's what Satan is about. So why even try to reason with Satan? Just give him the word of God. The word of God has its own force. And so when they accuse us of not being this and not being that, or accuse our God as God was accused to me today, well, if there's a God, and actually the people that were speaking were making the point that there is no God, they were saying, and if there was a God, why would he allow that to happen to those children? That is not the issue. The issue is much deeper than that. But Satan will bring about an argument based on if there is a God, or if a God did exist, if a God exists. And we see a lot of that in our contemporary society, people seeking to cause people to disbelieve God, or to believe that there is no God. And it is very important for you to understand that your children are being bombarded by this kind of ungodliness. When they are on the internet and they're talking on message boards, they are being filled with disbelief and unbelief. That is the purpose of Satan. Satan is doing that. And so it is important, if you are a Christian, to handle that by yourself instilling in children and putting into your children and those around you the word of Almighty God. That's not the only if that Satan used. In Luke chapter 4, verses 5 and following, listen, I'm going to read verse 5 now. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Again, reading Luke chapter 4, verse 7. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You see this if again here in verse 7? If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. So he makes an offer. Now, this still is a stupid offer because Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, is God. He is God the Son. God created everything. He owns everything. So Satan is trying to get him to sin to get what he already owns. Now somebody said, well, he didn't in the flesh as Jesus. He didn't own it, but he was Jesus, but he was still God. And so why would somebody who already owns something commit an ungodly act to get what he already owns? Well, someone said, well, but God had given it to Satan, this world king of this world. God had given that to Satan that he could give it to whomever. And that's a theological discussion that we will not enter. But in the finality, Jesus is and was God. So why would he need to receive this from Satan? Well, you may say, well, in this particular case, he was Son of Man, he was in the flesh, he was hungry, and therefore he had a need, and so because of that need, there was a possibility. Well, and certainly you may say that Satan also indicates in some way that he understands the power of Jesus by saying, if you are the Son of God, do this or that. Satan knew, of course, that he is the Son of God. And yet he makes this offer. Again, when you receive these conditional offers that don't make sense, when you know, why would somebody offer me this mess? Satan will offer you what you already own, and he will cause you to do something wrong to get what you already own if you are not wise enough to realize that your Father in heaven is rich. And then if you're not wise enough to realize that it is your job to get what you need from God and not from Satan. There are a lot of Christians, people who say they're Christian, who are doing things that are not of God because they do not trust God to provide for their needs. When you see a Christian committing sin to get money, that means that Christian is not trusting God to provide for his or her needs. And there are some of you who are listening to me, perhaps, and you know I am right. You've taken a job that you know you should not be doing as a Christian, but you are saying, I lost my main employment, and this is all that came about, and so I took it. Satan will offer you mess. He will offer you junk. He will offer you counterfeit. That is his job. And you say, well, if I had not taken it, my children would not have gotten clothes. I would have had no money to buy food. I had to do it. Well, did you really think about it? Now, serving God is not always peachy cream in terms of having everything you want all the time. There is suffering as a Christian. And the Bible says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. So in order to be able to reign, R-E-I-G-N, we must suffer with him. And there is some suffering in the Christian life. So we have seen now these two ifs. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Why would Jesus want to worship Satan? Jesus is the object of worship. You know, that is foolish, really. What Satan is saying is foolish. Think about it when people say things to you as a Christian that startle you. And really, they are an offense unto you. Haven't people said things to you that were very offensive and you knew they should not have said them? I, as a minister, have taken many things that have been very offensive from many people. But we have to realize that Satan is behind those offenses. Do you remember when Jesus said, "Get ye behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me"? That is vintage Satan. Satan is an offensive being, an offensive spirit. So instead of getting mad and hitting people and cursing people and all of these things, when they say all of these offensive things against you, be wise enough to understand and realize that this is the operation of Satan. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me." And certainly the people that Satan are using, they will say very offensive, many offensive things. It could even be someone in your family that Satan is using. And you may wonder, why would my brother say that to me? Why would my father say that to me? Why would my child say that to me? Why would my sister say that to me? Why would my mother say that to me? Why would my grandfather say that to me? Why would my grandchild say that to me? Why would my neighbor say that to me? Because Satan is behind it. He is an offensive being, and those that do his bidding will do things that are very offensive to the children of God. And so I can say this, I have many times taken things and just not said anything about them, but they were very offensive. But learn and understand that that is the operation of Satan. Let's go now to verse 8 in Luke chapter 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So again, Jesus uses scripture to do combat with Satan. You don't do combat with Satan with your hands, with your guns, your weapons, your knives, or even with cursing and nasty and dirty words. You find yourself the scriptures of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now in Luke chapter 4, verse 9, it reads, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." Once again, take note of that if. "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now, Satan quotes that powerful psalm, Psalm 91, and we're going to get to that psalm one day here. Psalm 91 has a marvelous history, and there are great claims that have been made about Psalm 91. There are claims, I was taught as a boy, that soldiers took Psalm 91 to the battlefield, and many testified that with Psalm 91, they came home alive, and they attribute their being alive to Psalm 91. Well, Satan here quotes Psalm 91, and if he chose that psalm, that must be a special psalm. If he chose that psalm to quote to the Son of God, there must be something special about Psalm 91. And so Satan quoted that, reading once again, And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You see, again, look at here, this verse 9, where he uses this if again. If thou be the Son of God, which Satan knew fully that he was the Son of God. Jesus was in heaven when Satan got kicked out. You see, Jesus said, I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven. You see, when God gets upset now, and that's what you got to be careful. That, you know, you can do a whole lot of things, but when God gets upset, when God decides to pay a visit to your situation because you've been so ungodly and so rebellious against him, he might act quickly. Jesus said, I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven. I saw Satan like lightning. Jesus was in heaven. He saw Satan get kicked out. I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven. See, it doesn't take God long to act. All he got to do is will it. God does not even have to say it. All he has to do is will it. And it's done. His will. That's why Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's will is done. Whatever he wills is done. You can say, I'm going to go to heaven and do what I want to do. No way. Because in heaven, God's will is done. He doesn't have to say a word. In heaven, his will is done. So Satan decided to do what he wanted to do, Lucifer. And God's will was that he depart from heaven. And so Jesus said, I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven. So Satan knew that Jesus knew who he was, and he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And he knew that all of this, you see, Satan, and keep this in mind, Satan will take a very impossible argument and come at you with it. This is an impossible argument. Why would you come at God, the Son of God, with something like this? His own word. That's how offensive Satan is. Taking his own word, taking the word of God, and coming at him with the word of God. It is important for you to understand who and what the adversary is. He will use any trickery that he can. He is deceitful. He is a liar. And you will come, he will come, and he can astound you with his stupidity. But he can make it look like it's the greatest thing. His stupidity. So my friends, begin to understand that Satan is our accuser. He will bring up all kinds of things. He will be offensive. But we must trust in God. And so now to this, in verse 12, Jesus says, And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see. And he knew. This insinuates again that Satan knew that he was God the Son. In verse 13 it says, And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Satan goes away, but if the Lord lets him, if God lets him, he'll come back later on. He doesn't give up. That's why you must be vigilant. You must be vigilant. You must be aware that if you let your guard down spiritually, Satan is going to try to tempt you. And many of you have been tempted. Now, I shouldn't say many of you. Many of us have been tempted by Satan, and we have been fooled by Satan. And that's the thing for us to remember. Satan has tempted us, and he has fooled us, and he has tricked us into sin. And we need to realize that we are sometimes vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And so beware when people come. If you are a Christian, I don't see why you don't do this. Or if you are so holy, I don't see why listening to this little music is going to hurt you. If you got the Holy Ghost, this little music shouldn't hurt you. I don't see why watching this would hurt you. If you are saved, why would you not want to see this? If you are saved, if you are so big a Christian, if you are so big a Christian, looks like you would have more money than this. That sounds like something that a wife might say to her husband, you know. If she's not very strong, and keep in mind that Satan can use your spouse. That's why you don't want to turn against your spouse, but you want to take the word of God and engage Satan. So instead of standing there arguing with and cursing your spouse, just take the word of God and engage Satan. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You have to do that, my friend. And do it according to the word of God. Well, this is not the only time that Jesus was attacked with the if phrases. If you go to Luke chapter 22, actually Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, and this is when Jesus now is being led to be crucified. When Jesus is being led to be crucified, we see now another attack with these ifs. And so here in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. That's verse 34 in Luke 23, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Verse 35 reads, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Here you see this if again now. They make the statement that he did save others. But now they're saying, they're challenging him, let him save himself, which was not the will of God. Just like Satan wanted him to do something that was not the will of God. Keep in mind, Satan will challenge you to do things that are not the will of God. And they will say, if you do that, that will prove something. If you do this, that will prove that you love me. And many a girl has gotten caught by some guy through whom Satan was working, saying, if you love me, do this. If you won't do this for me, then you don't love me. That's the devil in hell. The devil in hell, anyone who tries to take your virginity and not be married to you, that's the devil in hell. And I know this may seem offensive to many of you, but God talks about fornication and he talks about adultery. If you are living with someone and you are not married to that person, you are engaging in fornication in any intimacy. And certainly you shouldn't be living with the opposite sex if you are not married to him, because the Bible says avoid the very appearance of evil. And that is an appearance of evil, because who in the neighborhood is going to believe that a guy and girl are living together and are not being intimate? Avoid the very appearance of evil. So if you're living with somebody, even if you say, well, he sleeps in one room and I sleep in another, or he sleeps in one bed and I sleep in another, you are still sinning, because the Bible says avoid the very appearance of evil. And that is an appearance of evil. And in most cases, the case is that there is intimacy, and that is fornication, and that is a sin against your own body. The Bible says there are many sins, but fornication is a sin against your own body. And so, but Satan comes and he'll say, particularly through guys, if you won't do this for me, then you don't love me. Or if you love me, do this for me. And now, of course, some females will say that too. Things have really, really gotten so bad. Satan can use both sides. There was a time when it appears that the females held the line a little more. But even now, we have more females who are expecting that or in some way are saying, well, if you won't do this, I don't know who you are, what you are. Something must be wrong with you. You won't do this. If you want to date me, you've got to do that. That's the devil, my friend. You say, well, I'm a man, and if I don't do it, they'll think something is wrong with me. Well, the devil is a liar. Let him say what he wants to say. Obey God. We ought to obey God. If you're really going to be a man, then stand up and find yourself a woman who has enough God in her to understand that you ought not be doing those things until you get married. And on the other hand, one who doesn't have that kind of God in her, the question is, you need to either get her saved or leave her alone. Because if she is at that point now where Satan can use her in that manner, how will he use her once you are married? Be real. You must be realistic about these spiritual situations. And so here in Luke chapter 23, verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. When people deride you, that's the devil in hell. Christians are going to try to help you. That's one thing. A Christian will try to help you. Even if they have to rebuke you for the evil you've done in the Lord, in love, they're going to try to help you. But when people deride you, that is the operation of Satan. And then here's what they said. He saved others. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. This if again. Satan does that. Satan says, prove if you are this or that. Why must we go around? I've stopped long time ago trying to prove things. I used to try to prove I'm good enough, or I can do what the other guy can do, or the next guy can do. Stop trying to prove things that don't need to be proved, particularly when it comes from Satan. God knows why he made you. He knows what he wants you to do. He knows where he wants you to do it. He knows when he wants you to do it. And if you will listen to him, he will be with you and help you be successful. So go to God and find out, first of all, who you are. You need to find out who he is first, and you do that in his word. Then have him show you who you are. And then you will find that you're not so strong on trying to prove to everybody that you are good enough. Be good enough in the sight of God and worry not about man. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're in school or you are doing things that require you to pass or to demonstrate proficiency, it doesn't mean that you're not going to do that. You're going to try to learn everything you can. I say this, though I've not always done that myself, but this is what ought to be done. You ought to try to learn. Of course, I keep studying. One thing I've learned is to concentrate on that which is of God. I find that when I concentrate on that, that God doesn't want me in, that it doesn't go that well. But I find out when I concentrate where he wants me to concentrate, that it goes very, very well. And that may be your case also. When you concentrate on that where God wants you to concentrate, he, I believe, will give you good success. Well, looking here at Luke chapter 23, verse 36 now. Now, in verse 35, we saw the rulers and the people deriding him. So you have powerful people being offensive. They're deriding. To deride someone is to really say some nasty, bad things. If you're the Son of God, you save yourself. You save others, save yourself. And then the soldiers here in verse 36, And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." So here, in each of these scenarios, we have a satanic kind of attack of, if you are this, then do that. If you are this, then do that. And there are those of you who are spouses who've heard this. Your wives have said that to you. Or your husbands have said that to you. Learn to go to God instead of getting mad. You see, what happens is, when you attack like that, Satan is in one person. And then if you let down your spiritual guard, before long, Satan will be in two people. That person who's attacking you and in you. And then he has a field day as the two of you go after it, both in his spirit, and you have subdued the spirit that the Lord has given you. And now you have two demonic types of activities going on. And you may say, "Well, Satan can't get in me because I'm full of the Holy Ghost." Well, Peter was standing right beside Jesus. Peter was standing right beside Jesus, and Satan used him, and Jesus rebuked Peter. He had to rebuke him. Why? Because Satan was in him. So, my friend, please begin to be wise. Let's say that, you know, if you are married and your spouse comes to you from a satanic position, why would you lower your spiritual guard and allow Satan to use you? I can tell you, this works. This works if you will just stay strong in the Lord. Listen. Listen to what's being said and learn from that. Do you know, much of my education about people around me, those who are my acquaintances, those who are even my family, my education comes from listening to them when they have a criticism. I find out where they are spiritually. I find out what they're thinking. I find out something about their entire state. And not only that, whether it's on my job, whenever I encounter people, I listen very carefully to what they are saying. Some people will walk away and say, "I'm not going to listen to you." Oh, I listen to them. It is education to me. And then when I go away, I can put together the pieces and find out where they are. Some I will feel pity for. Others I will empathize with where they are, not knowing the Lord as they should. Others I have to pray about, and I pray about them all. Others I learn to avoid because I realize that they are dangerous to me. If you will listen, the Lord will help you to gain so much information that will bless you in the future. Our job oftentimes is we will not listen. So here in Luke chapter 23, we have again this attack by the soldiers, okay? And there's another writer that said that the people who attacked him saying, "If he come down from the cross, if you be the Son of God, come down from that cross and we will believe you." Well, that was a lie. If he had come down from the cross, they wouldn't have truly believed it. They had seen the miracles. Probably it's possible that some of them had been touched by the miracles, or someone they knew. They knew who he was. That was just the operation of Satan. And it is important for you to begin to understand that you cannot please the devil. No matter what you do, you cannot please the devil. So please God, and he will help you handle the devil. This is Pastor Clarence William Page. This is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. And you may access us, and those of you who are listening, you already know this, but you may have friends who have dishes, and if they have a satellite dish, they can access us on Galaxy 19 satellite, Galaxy 19 satellite, and it's at 97 degrees west, Galaxy 19 satellite, at 97 degrees west. And the reception frequency is 12060. 12060 on Galaxy 19 satellite. And the symbol rate is 22,000. The FEC is 3/4. The polarity is horizontal. That's Galaxy 19 satellite at 97 degrees west. The reception frequency, 12060. And that's on the KU band. On the KU band. And I pray that you are going to tell your friends and your family and everyone about Light to Guide Our Feet. It's going to be a very important ministry for as many as will listen, for the Lord has given to us a great ministry, and I pray that you are going to continue to come back and listen time and time again. Let's take a look at James chapter 1. This thing about people wanting to accuse God. We know that there are many things going on in the world now, but we cannot accuse God. It really is our lust. Now, there are natural calamities that occur that we can't attribute to anything that we know. We just don't know. And we need to be careful about saying, well, this occurred because of that. If God says so and he testifies it through his prophets, then that's one thing. If we don't, we just need to leave it alone. But let's read James chapter 1, the general epistle of James, the general epistle of James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's read that once again. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let's read again verse 24 of James chapter 1. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Reading once again, James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That is James chapter 1, verses 1 through 27. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 27, I think that it speaks for itself. I pray that you are going to return to these scriptures and that you are going to be guided by what the lessons in them are. God is so wonderful. He is so magnificent and so mighty. It is important, though, my friends, that we understand that in order for us to be successful in our Christian life, we must continually be in his holy word. This is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page. I pray that something read and or said during this session has been beneficial to you. Also want to remind you that we have a prayer ministry that has been on the internet now for more than 10 years. It is called the Hallelujah Prayer Warriors. The Lord led me to found the Hallelujah Prayer Warriors more than 10 years ago, and we have prayer warriors all over the world, and we receive prayer requests from all over the world. You may view the Prayer Warrior website at www.trinbapt.org. That's www.trinbapt.org. That's trinbap.org. The first four letters of the word Trinity and the first four letters of the word Baptist. www.trinbap.org. If you have a prayer request, just feel free to send the prayer request to us. We do pray. We pray at 6 a.m. Our time each day, and each warrior prays at 6 a.m. his time or her time each day. We pray at 12 noon, and we pray at 6 p.m. So the prayers of the Hallelujah Prayer Warriors are made at 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m., the Prayer Warrior's local time. Whatever the time is, where the Prayer Warrior is, that's the time the Prayer Warrior prays. It's a wonderful ministry, and we've gotten so many thousands of prayer requests over the years, and we get requests almost every day, and normally more than one request almost every day. Again, you may access the website of the Hallelujah Prayer Warriors at www.trinbapt.org. The first four letters of the word Trinity, the first four letters of the word Baptist, and it's one word, trinbap.org. The Lord has been marvelous in that ministry over the years. And certainly if you desire to participate, of course, there should be a link there where you can submit your request to become a Hallelujah Prayer Warriors. Do pray for all of our ministries. Light to Guide Our Feet is brand new. There will be much more coming. We have just gotten started. We came on January 1 officially, and so we're very young, and of course the quality of our programming will improve. There's much more content that will be coming, and so expect that. But what we do promise is that when you come here, you will get a very healthy serving of the Word of God, a very healthy serving of the Word of God. And that's one good reason why, or for you to tell your friends about Light to Guide Our Feet, because our ministry will bless them in their ministries, bless them in their churches, bless them in whatever they are doing. The Lord has blessed us with this ministry, and may it be a great blessing to you, and may it all be to God's glory, and may it all bless His creation. It has been good being with you today, and I pray that things are well with you, and if they aren't, then you know to whom you should go, and let Him know what your needs are. This is Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church. And we're going back now to regular scheduled programming. Have a blessed time.